He molds me and He makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay.
A soul of honor.
Oh, yes, we are.
I am today.
And it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay.
I came back to
you. Oh, yes, we did.
A vessel unworthy, so scarred by sin.
Oh, yes, we were.
But He did not despair.
Hallelujah.
He started over again.
Aren't you glad that He did?
And I'm so blessed today. He didn't throw the clay.
Oh, now sing it to Him with all your heart. We're now over and over. He molds me and He makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay.
Praise the Lord. Well, aren't you so glad that He loves you enough to keep working on you, keep working on you, keep working on you. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand and say, I am a vessel of honor because He didn't throw me away. We are. Play some more of that song, brethren. Won't you sing that second verse again, Brother Harry, in a minute. Play it, brethren. Play it. Hallelujah. I love you, buddy. Appreciate you. I love you. You're a good man. Hey, buddy. Appreciate you. appreciate you. Brother Amos, I love you, buddy. We're vessels of honor, ain't we? We're vessels of honor. Hallelujah. Bless you, Eddie. I bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Brother Michael, God bless you. Good to see you, Brother Frank. Play the song. Play the song. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. This full of honor I am today. Oh, because Jesus didn't throw the clay.
He just picks up all the broken pieces.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't throw the clay away.
Now sing it from your heart.
Oh, yes, over and over. He molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions.
The Lord. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. Someone says they have two unspoken prayer requests. The Lord certainly knows all about what is committed into the Lord tonight. I want to please continue to pray for Sister Linda Maxwell. The doctors are concerned because she has a fever. She has to go to the ER if it gets to 101. So we're asking, they're asking that we would just pray that the Lord would touch her and let the doctors find out what's wrong with our sister. Just appreciate her and that family so much. Special unspoken prayer request for Sister Susan Wiebe. I hope I got that name right. But anyway, just a prayer request on her behalf. I want to pray for Barbara Gerber, who has heart failure. She's from Louisiana. We'll commit that need unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Eastep tonight. Really weak. Has to have two more surgeries, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer as we pray tonight. Brother Don Forum from Portland, Oregon sends this in to please have the congregation to pray for my mother. Her name is Peggy Bear. She's in her early 80s, and she is going in on Tuesday for her second knee replacement. She is a little less sure this time, and more importantly, please pray that God grants my mother eternal life in the world to come. I love her, and there is nobody outside of Jesus Christ that has done more for me than my mom. Thank you, saints of God, and may God bless you. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Please pray for Brother and Sister King. They're both sick tonight. Brother King's brother is here from Texas. His name is Benny. He is also sick tonight, so we certainly want to pray for those folks that the Lord would touch them. I want to remember Sister Gail Clark in prayer. She's sick. Also remember my sister Brenda Butler in prayer. She fell and broke her hip, needs healing, a healing touch from the Lord. Sister Linda sends that in. We'll commit that need unto the Lord tonight. I want to please pray for Sister Christine Baker, who has been in pain for some time with her neck. Thank you for your prayer. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. And Sister Winters, God bless you. It's certainly good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. We missed her, haven't we? We certainly have. We missed you. God bless you. Certainly glad to have Sister Winters back in the service with us tonight. Also, Sister Gail, Sister, I've always called her Gail. A lot of folks know her as Joy, but I've always called her Sister Gail Green. Her and her family, some that like maybe this is their first time, suffered a tragic loss in her son this week, Derek. And Sister Gail, I want you to know that we've been praying for you, you and your family, and we love you. We're praying for the Green family, aren't we? Somebody look at them and say, we're praying for you. We certainly are. We're praying for you that the Lord will just wrap his arms around you and hold you real, real tight at this time. Have you an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? How many of you believe we're serving a God that's more than anything we could ever imagine possible? He's more than anything you could ever dream. Brother Joel Brown, why don't you come and pray tonight? Invite the presence of the Lord into this service. We'll take these needs before the Lord and ask him to have his perfect divine will in every situation. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
And we as worshipers, that's how we invite him in. And you guys know me. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by him. Oh, Lord, come by him. We so do need you, Lord. Need you, Lord, come by here. We so do need you, Lord, come by here. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We give you the supreme place in this building tonight. Every thought, every deed, every word, every idea, every opinion that we have that's contrary to you, may we set it aside and give you your proper place. Because, Lord, no doubt there's been, as even holding these requests in our hands, oh Father, there's grief, people experiencing grief, family experiencing loss. There's sickness. There's Sister Linda who's standing with this high fever. Lord, there's been circumstances and situations that have stood in the way of the people of God. But, Lord, we are to find comfort in the Word of God and use the Word of God as an example. So tonight, Lord, as we have heard these requests of prayer, these individuals, these situations, oh God, we are looking back in Thy Word and we can find comfort. We can find encouragement. We can find determination. We can find a little bit of get up and go, Father, in that Word. And, Father, we want to set these things aside. We don't want to be disrespectful to individuals and what they're going through. But, Lord, you're the reason why I'm here tonight, oh God. And we want to push through who we are, what we've become, and what we've allowed the devil to attach to our lives. We want to set that aside tonight, oh God. And we know that if two or three are gathered, that's your very word, Lord. If two or three are gathered in your name, and if we're calling upon thy name, if we're expecting you, if we're longing for you, if we're waiting for you, then these requests of prayer, these circumstances, Father, they will come back as praise reports in the morning. I don't say that all of them will, but Lord, I look for them too, and maybe it will happen in the life and in the home of an individual. They'll never say a word about it, but oh Father, may you anoint right everything that's said and done tonight. Brother Dale, may you get him out of the way, Lord. The hands that strike the keys upon the organ, the piano, may they get themselves out of the way, Lord. The beat of the drum, Lord, may that person be out of the way, Father. The strum of the guitar, everything, Lord, that's here tonight, oh God, may it be for thy glory. Forgive us where we failed you. And Lord, you're welcome in this place. Anoint Brother Louis as he's here pushing through all of this chaos, all of these clouds of doubt, deception, and deceit. Oh God, and as he stands in this place, may an anointing strike this place net like never before seen, and may we enter into the atmosphere of worship. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. And oh God, we give you all the glory. You receive the highest place, the highest seat, oh Lord. And while you're here, may we glorify you, for we know not if this will be our last service. And we want to do all that we can while we're here. We want to show out for you tonight if that's what it takes. We want to set everything aside that we are, Father, and get you. We bypass who we really are, Father, and come to this place called time. Lord, this little circle of time, this little hickey of time. And Lord, here we are to be stirred up by this word of God, to let us know where we're going and how to get back there, to where there won't be any more time, but where there be requests of prayer. We thank you, Lord, even for this. And all things, we give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight around the world, may the service be a blessing to those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements. Well, welcome back to, she's actually not visiting, she just come back home. Sister Brenda Collins, visiting with her little grandson right here. Give her a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Brother Barry Coffey wanted us to make this announcement. The Winter Youth Retreat, as many of our young people probably go to that year in and year out. This year we have moved our location to Newport, Tennessee for the meeting. We want to extend an invitation to the youth in your church, 17 and up, and ask you to announce it to them. The dates are December the 28th through the 31st, and they still have space available. So if you're interested in doing that, we'll announce this again in the morning. And Brother Jim and the brothers over there probably have more information if you need that, what you need to do. And if not, why? We'll certainly see that you get that information as you need it. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. I don't think we've ever tried this, but I think we can do it if we try hard enough. I've been saved by grace. How about you?
Amen.
What was the rest of you saved by? Your good looks? How many of you have been saved by grace? How many of you appreciate the grace of Almighty God? Give Him another big hand clap of praise. Oh yes, I'm saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in that Lamb's book of life, and my sins are washed away. Oh, I'm saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Oh, yes, I'm saved. Save my grace.
Amen. Well, that's a little song. We'll get the verses to that, and we'll just start singing that little song. I've been saved by grace. May God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We have a couple of songs. As you know, Brother Dale Smith is here to preach for us this weekend, and I know you're going to enjoy him. The last time he was here, he just tremendously blessed us with the word of the Lord, didn't he? His wife is here with him tonight, Sister Joanne. I want her to come and get us a song ready at this time, if she will. Brother Harry's going to sing for us again tonight what he sang on Wednesday night. The reason that I'm standing when he stands in front of me. That's a good song, Brother Harry. You do a good job on it. Sister Joanne, if you'd come, let's give her a nice hand as she sings for us tonight.
They journeyed down the old path that led to much destruction. All the while, their loving hearts were hurting. Their hopes were crushed inside as their compassion was denied. The woman they so loved seemed like a stranger. Heartbroken and alone, they took the long way back home. For sin now reigned, and hope seemed gone to change her. One day the word was told, some slaves were being sold, a restless love sent Hosea seeking. One by one they brought them in, so beaten down within. But in his chest, his anxious heart was beating. All at once she caught his eye. From his lips the bids were high. She could not believe the voice that she was hearing. Would he in judgment take her life, forever end his pain and strife? What would happen as she saw him drawing near her? Come to take you home. I know that you've done wrong, but for you I gave my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I could never let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. He took her hand and said, there's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home. Well, I've stood in that same place, bound by sin, a broken slave. From the depths of my despair, I prayed for mercy. I heard his word, he paid the price. On the cross he gave his life. He took my hand and said, now child, you're in the family. I've come to take you home. I know that you've done wrong, but for you I gave my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I could never let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. He took my hand and said, there's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home. There's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home.
I had a request to sing this. Brother Louie requested it. But y'all help me anyway. I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. Said, if you won't be ashamed of me, child, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I bow before his mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Not been easy. At times I've lost my way. So often I have stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. The whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. But he kept me with his amazing grace. Someday soon I'll have the chance to thank him face to face. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. Join the millions, every kindred, tongue, and race. Every child of God that day will look upon his face. With the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword, we'll all stand together and declare, Jesus. Standing. fade from memory. I bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees, when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. That I'm standing stands in front of me.
Create the place. Father, without Your presence, Lord, we're undone. We're just men of unclean lips,
yeah.
Men of unclean hands.
Yeah.
Lord, we just pray this evening, Father, that You'll come,
yeah.
Take the coal from off the altar.
Yeah.
Lord, that You'll touch our lips, and
yes.
You'll touch our hands, oh God, and Lord, that all that will be done here will be done to bring You praise and glory and honor. Do Your worthy name, Lord. We just welcome Your Holy Spirit. We feel You amongst the people, Lord. You said that You inhabit the praises of Your people. Lord, we just ask You now that You'll come, Lord, if there's unconfessed or unrepented of iniquity or sin in any life, oh God, we pray. Lord, that shun the evil and do the right, Father. Look to Your throne of mercy tonight, Lord. Grace is abundant and free tonight, Lord. May we run to Jesus, we pray. Father, as we just make ourselves available, Father, our post of duty, reporting for duty this evening, Lord, we pray, God, that You speak to Your children. Heal the sick and the afflicted that are among us, oh God. Lord, may You bless each and every life, we pray. We give You all the thanks in Jesus. Love You. God bless you, friends.
There is a man that can turn on the mic. If you have your Bibles, invite you to John's Gospel, chapter 3 this evening. Bring you greetings from the saints down in Beaufort Way. I guess we had Brother Matt up last week, and I'm sure that you were blessed by that gift that God has placed in that young man's life. I just appreciate him so much. And don't get to see him much. We're ships passing. But we just appreciate him. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 3, we want to begin reading at verse 10. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that come down from heaven, and the Son of Man, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Notice the verbiage, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May the Lord bless the reading of the word as you take your seats. We're wanting to call your attention to that just for a moment. Because in the English text, it uses two separate English words. The prophet of God took great pains to show and to teach us that those two words meant the same thing. And if we go back and look in the Greek, they're both the same Greek grammar word, the same word eternal, meaning having no beginning of life and no ending of life, which was also the same qualifications that was laid on to Melchizedek. Now, we're looking at a couple of things here. I want to title this message this evening, Living on the Threshold of a Millennial Kingdom. And we want to start this evening because we're, like I say, we're just building a thought. Maybe we'll carry it in the morning, and maybe we'll finish it this evening. I'm not sure. But I want you to look at verse 13 just as a starting place here. It says, no man hath ascended up to heaven. And he meant no man when he said no man. He said, no man has ascended up into heaven, but he that come down from heaven. And so that's, you and I are included in this passage of scripture. There's no way to get there unless you was there before. Amen. Because we find that the word teaches us that we were foreknown of God, that God knew us before the foundation of the world, and that our names were written in the Lamb's book of the Lamb slain before. And we've ministered on that here before, of how that the sons of God shouted for joy because they saw their name appropriated with that Lamb before the foundation of the world. And that's why we are enthused about the things of God today. That's why we're interested in salvation today, because we were already in that program of a redemption. Redemption itself speaks of being foreknown or owned previously. And so just looking at that. But then he goes on to say, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So now he had three conditions. One, that he came from God, he went to God, and that he was presently with God. And so Brother M says, how can that be? He said, that's just the omnipresence of Almighty God. But now, if we look at that in light of who we are, then we also are, because Jesus said, as I am, so shall you be in this present world. So there's an attachment. When we look at the word Son of Man there, now around Message ranks, a lot of times that gets overemphasized, or maybe it gets underemphasized, but I just want to draw a few conclusions from this phrase, this three-word phrase, the Son of Man. The word son there actually is not like an offspring like an animal, but it's the offspring that is designated to humanity. And in light of that, it's also designated for an association or an intimacy with God. And so it's also used of the Son of God. We can see where the Bible refers to Jesus as the Son of God. And that word son there actually makes an affinity or an intimacy between the man, Christ Jesus, and his heavenly Father. And so there's it shows that he was not just an earthly offspring like an animal, but that he was connected to God. But then when we look at Son of Man here, it also uses that intimacy and points and shows how that God would now show intimacy back to the human race.
And that God would want to be intimate, or that he would want to be a kinsman, if we could say it like that. That he wanted to be kinfolk to you and I. And so he came in the form of the Son of Man. And so now God, and so we realize that Jesus was the Word, and that Word was, according to John 1 and 14, was made flesh and dwell among us. Brother Ram tells us that what is the Son of Man, but it is the Word made flesh. Are you with me? And so now this Word being made flesh, we want to look at that just for a little bit. He talks to us about, in a message called Proving His Word, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Luke 17 and 30. He said, when the Son of Man is being revealed, not no more a church, no more, the bride's called, see, and in that day the Son of Man will be revealed. Speaking of this day that we live in. What? To join the church to the head. That's what the Son of Man ministry was sent to do, was to join the church to the head. Now, unite the marriage of the bride. He calls it the bridegroom call. Will come right through this when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. And so many times people will go over and say, okay, Luke 17:30 was Brother Branham exclusive. There's no possible way that it could be Brother Branham exclusive, because Brother Branham was, he tells us himself, he said, I am not the Son of Man. He said, I am a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. And so when the Word was being made flesh in the prophet's ministry, then we were seeing the Son of Man on display. Oh, praise God. Amen. But what do we do now? There's not the man, William Branham, is not here, but yet there's still a bridegroom call that's going forth. There's still a people that are being united by the Son of Man ministry. Now this to join this church to the head, he calls it the bridegroom call. Watch what he says here. The church has to be the Word. So if the church is the Word, and he is the Word, and the two unites together to do what? To do that, it will take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. So now then, that manifestation is when the Word, as he goes on to say here, he said, not a clergy. Oh, don't you see? It's the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make his Word so real that it will unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to a wedding supper. She's already united to go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Because the marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage is going on now, friends. Amen. We've been walked down the aisle, as it were. Amen. The preacher's on the scene. Amen. Now the vows are being transferred one to the other. Are you making your vows to Christ tonight, you see? This is the marriage, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. The rapture, so many times. Not to be different, not to be strange, not to be argumentative. I understand the rapture is a threefold descent of Christ, shout, voice, and trump. I understand that. That's very plain in the message. But Brother Bram tells us here, 1964, but the rapture is going to the wedding supper. All right, so I understand the shout. That's to call the bride. I understand the voice. It's to bring the dead up. I understand that. That's all well and good. But ultimately, friends, I just don't want to be wandering around in the wilderness. Amen. I understand all that. That's real. And I believe it. I can read the quotes myself. But there's a part of it. I'm looking for a body change. I'm looking for a rapture. I'm looking for something that'll take me from this terrestrial and move me over into the celestial. Amen. Help me a little bit. Praise the Lord. Now, we're looking at something here. When the Word here unites with a person and the two become one, what person is he talking about? Talking about me. Talking about you. And then what does it do? What does it do when the Word unites with the person? It manifests the Son of Man again. Oh, I thought it was all in Brother Branham. When the Word unites with me, when the prophet's message that he brought, the inspiration of the Word that was delivered by Revelations 10, amen, that mystery of God would be finished. How will it be finished? When it manifests itself in me. Oh, glory. It manifests the Son of Man again. Not church theologians, but that's what I find that we're getting. We're getting a bunch of church theologians that can quote it, quote it, quote it, quote it. Oh, let's find somebody that can live it. Let's find somebody that can manifest the Son of Man again. Little handsmaids of the Lord. You say, handsmaid. Brother Branham told us that when that little woman at the well heard the message, recognized her day and its message, when she recognized it, she said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Said, "When Messiah cometh, he'll do these things." He said, "I am he." She dropped her water pot, ran down into the city. The whole town got converted. Brother Brown said that, he said, Jesus never manifested that sign one more time to those people. He did it second-handedly through that little woman. Oh, glory. What was it? She became the Son of Man. Oh, the Word was made flesh. The little, Brother Brown tells you it was those two pieces of paper were coming together. An old Word was coming together with a new experience, and it produced the Son of Man again. What do we got? We've got a message that's been going around the world for 50 plus years. Is that right? Round and around it goes. Oh, but friends, there's got to be a people. We just realized that the Son of Man ministry was to come when? At the end time. At the token hour. At the evening time. When the camel trains come in. Luke 17:30, I believe. He said, Jesus said, when the Son of Man is being revealed, not man, the Son of Man. Not organization, the Son of Man. The Word living itself again among the people. The Word itself made flesh in you. Oh my, I'm glad God sent a prophet. He said, you are a reflection of this hour. You're a reflection of it. What's in this hour? It was a Sodom time. Is that right? It would be a Noah time. It would be a Lot time. It would be a wicked hour. It would be the most wicked, the darkest of all hours. And so there's going to be a people that are going to reflect the darkness. That's right. There's a people on the earth. Oh, friend, I trust that we can see that I'm not here to reflect the darkness. Oh, but he said, you are a reflection of this hour. We have to be a reflection of something. You've got to be a reflection of something. There's only two spirits in the world. The spirit of truth, the spirit of error. We're going to reflect either truth or we're going to reflect the error. The light or the darkness. You are a reflection of this hour. The message, reflection of it. You live again. What? How do I live again? I've never died the first time. Whoa, wait a minute. I was alive in Him before the foundation of the world. I came into the world dead. I came in the world dead. My Bible says I was born in sin. He that sinneth shall surely die. And so there's a death that was on us. We were dead while we liveth. Oh, but hallelujah. He said, what is it? He said, you live again. Live the life that was in Jesus Christ. Oh my. So now here is this Son of Man. Here's this concept and I hope it goes beyond just a concept. I hope it goes to a revelation in your souls that this was something that was to take place at the end time that would call a people for a rapture, and it would be these very truths that would bring that church to a place to receive a body change. It was this message that he says I'll just read it one more time. His word would be so real that it will unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go to a wedding supper. Oh, I want to be united to the word. I want to be one with the word. And when I'm one with the word, it'll carry me from this world to the next world. I titled my message, The Threshold. That word came to me one day. I just was hearing something that Brother Bram said, and that threshold just stuck in my mind. And I got to thinking about that threshold of the millennium. Brother Bram tells us here, I want to read this one little place. He says, talks about the seventh seal. He said, seventh seal. He said, it's the time for all these things and the ushering in of the millennium. So when the seals, the message of the hour, Revelation 10, 7, all these things would be finished, then there would be nothing to hinder. Is that right? Time would be no more. The seventh seal would take us right into eternity. Well, here it was, the ushering in. Well, I got to thinking about that. You know, we have ushers at the door. Did you ever notice that the ushers never went out in the parking lot to lead you into the church? But they waited until you got at the door. And when you got to the door, then there's a place, a line of demarcation. There's a place there that says, when you leave this place, and the word threshold is a point of entry or a point of exit, depending on which way you're going. And so now there's this threshold, and it says that from this place, once I cross this line, then if I come through that back door, then there's certain things that are required of me. There's an attitude that I have to take on, that I can't carry my business, my conversation, my behavior. I can't take my dress. I can't take my loose living. I can't take those things and carry them through that door. I understand that. And so what do? We spitting out our chewing gum, or, you know, throwing away our popsicles, and, you know, or, you know, putting, Brother Lamb said, you know, you ain't got time for eating peanuts. You see, it's not a circus, it's not a zoo we're going to, but there's a transition that is going to take place at the threshold. Now on this side, I can back up, I can do all kinds of things. I can do things out in the foyer that I can't do in here. I can have conversation out there that I wouldn't dare have in here. Not because it would be bad or sinful, but Brother Bev said nothing is to be done inside of the sanctuary but worship. Oh, hearing the word of God, reading your Bible, singing psalms, meditating, prayer. Oh, living in that atmosphere. And so now what we're talking about is the transition from this life that we live now. As we said, this life that we live in now is a Sodom condition. It's a pre-antediluvian condition all over again. They're living, marrying, giving in marriage. They're eating, drinking, sodomites, all these things, immorality, everything just gone. The world out there can spend so much time just looking out there, but my Bible says don't even talk what they do about out there. Amen. Don't even mention it. But yet we see, Brother Man, I'm talking about it. He said, how many times, he said, look down over this Tucson, I believe it was. He said, I looked down over Tucson, I thought to myself, he said, I told my wife, how many adulteries will take place in that city tonight? How many people will take the Lord's name in vain? How much booze will be drained? How much dope will be smoked? And all these things. How much immorality will take place in that city in one night? Oh my. God's got to do something. Or he would have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. So now, this is the here and the now. This is where we live. Unfortunately, I still, you know, I get stupid texts on my phone. I don't know who these people are. You know, you get emails from weird people. And you just, what is this? Where does this come from? It's just an overflow. Wickedness pouring in from every side. Brother Adam tells us it was hell had opened its mouth and was spewing forth all this filth and perversion that's on the street today, and we're subject to it. Why? We don't want it. It just contaminates us. It's filthy, nasty. You just don't want to be around it, but it's there. Drive down the road, the billboards, just the people on the street, the perversion. It's just there. It's in your face. There's nothing you can do about it. Just got to keep your eyes on the prize. So now, but then there's a place, and we'll just say that that's out there. But there's a threshold. There's a place, friends, that one of these days, and I don't believe it's very long, that the little bride is going to step across. She's going to step across. There's going to be a change. Oh my, what's going to happen when you get over yonder? And you imagine, friend, oh my, when the old gray hair, amen, goes back like it was. Amen, when your shoulders come back strong again, and oh, when your back is straight and your knees ain't sore, and oh my, when the arthritis ain't talking to you no more, and oh my, the rheumatism and the bronchitis and the allergies and all that stuff, oh, it's all laid behind you. You're going to move over into another world. Oh, the Bible says that nothing shall hurt nor destroy in that holy mountain. Oh, think about that place, friends. Amen, there's not going to be no death there. There's not going to be no sin there. There's not going to be no sickness over there. Oh, let me tell you, friends, there's going to be joy beyond compare. There's going to be, amen, it's not even going to be able to enter into your mind the things that God has prepared, amen, in that city. Oh, where the Lamb is alive. Oh, when I think about heaven, when I think about God, when I think about glory, when I think about that place over yonder, oh, then this whole world just begins to grow unceasingly dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. I get to thinking about God. I think about heaven. Oh my, can you imagine? Can you imagine a body that will never feel pain? Can you imagine a mind that'll never think a wrong thought? Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine eyes that won't ever wander? A tongue that'll never slip up? Oh, feet that'll never lead you astray? Oh, but a life that will be so consecrated, so devoted to the house of God, that for 1,000 years we'll live and reign as kings and priests upon the earth. Oh my, think about heaven for a while. That's right. That's over there. That's over there. Oh, I want it over here. That's what we're talking about. Now, Brother Brown says this: if I would question healing, I would certainly question salvation, because they're both earnest of our salvation. Completely. If we just had the earnest now of our complete redemption. Now watch. Under the earnest, Brother Bram says, you could see a man completely eat up with sarcomas cancer. And a prayer of faith. Brother Bram was not talking about something that may be or could be. He was talking about circumstances he had actually saw himself. He tells us of Sister Margie Morgan. He tells us of Florence Nightingale Sherlock. He tells us of these people that were skin and bones. Nothing left of them. Should have been dead long time ago. He talks about the one little sister 9 months in the same bed. 9 years, I'm sorry. Oh, just think about the sickness, the disease that had reduced these people to mere skeletons. Not even explainable how they could be alive. But yet we have the pictures of before and the pictures after. And we saw what a temporary resurrection would do to a person that was almost a skeleton and would bring them back to the vigor of health again. He said, that's the earnest. That's just a little portion of it. That's just a little down payment. That's just a little iota of what's going to be. Because we see the earnest would resurrect those people from sickness and death and bring them back and put, but they died again and went on. They did. They died, went on back. Oh, but they got a taste of temporary resurrection where they could experience a down payment, as it were. It's earnest in the light of down payment is really not probably the best description. Brother Bam used it. But because God don't owe us nothing. He didn't buy anything for me. I was the one in debt. I was the one that was lost. I was the one that needed help. Oh, but so what did he do? But he paid the price in full at Calvary. He satisfied the sin debt that was against us everyone. And so now he sends back a little portion of that eternal life and you get to experience it in the joy of the Holy Ghost. You get to experience a little piece of it when the Lord takes that migraine and all of a sudden it wipes it away and you wonder, how in the world did that happen? But God did it somehow. When that backache, you couldn't even get out of bed. You couldn't even walk without a cane. But then the next day God healed you and you don't throw the cane away and now you're healed. What is it? It's a temporary resurrection. An earnest. But where did the earnest come from? You say, well, it come from eternity. All right. Is eternity in front of us? Or is eternity behind us? Or is eternity above us? He said the Son of Man come from heaven. He's going to heaven. And he's in heaven. Well, guess what? I had a theophany that was before the foundation of the world. It'll be in eternity when I get there. And it's in eternity now. And I've come in contact with it. I've come in contact with that eternal life. That eternal life didn't start one day when I came to an altar. That eternal life has always been there. Oh, and I'm just getting to try it on. Just check out the benefits. Amen. My. Drank the Kool-Aid. I'm in this for the long haul now. Amen. No turning back. Hallelujah. Ah. Now watch. They're both healing and salvation, earnest of a resurrection. It's the earnest of a body without infirmity. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of a life without end. But where did the Holy Ghost come from? Where is it going? What is this? I got to thinking about this the other day. When Eliezer went to get Rebecca, he gets there, and you know that all that he went through, the prayer and the fleece he put before the Lord, and he gets there, and not only did he find a virgin that would water his camels, which was answer to his prayer, but she was also of his master Abraham's house, which was even a bonus. And so it was, so all these things came together. But I want you to see when he came bearing these precious gifts. And he gave her the, I believe it was an earring and bracelets and things that he gave her, just tokens of his sincerity. They were like an earnest. It was an earnest. Here's a little token. This, my master has great things. He has flocks and herds, and here I'm bringing you gifts, and here I'm even going to give your denominational brother a gift. Yeah, I'm gonna give them some too. But I want to give you the one that goes on your ear. I'm gonna give you one that'll cause you to hear my word. Amen. I'm gonna give you one. Amen. The bracelet that's gonna identify you. Oh, they're separate from these other people. You're the one I'm after. And so he brought these gifts from afar. They brought them from the place he was going to take her back to. And so is it when God sent the gift of the Holy Ghost, it came from the place, amen, that he's going to take us back to. Oh, hallelujah. So now what all's over there? Oh, my. The Bible says that in Christ you'll have joy unspeakable, full of glory. The Bible says that he'll give you peace that passes all understanding. So when you begin to think about love, the prophet said the only thing that makes it over there is divine agape love. Oh my. When we begin to think about the fruits of the Spirit and how that there's peace, love, joy, gentleness, meekness, kindness, brotherly kindness, oh, all these other things that are gifts of the Spirit. These things are the earnest, as it were, of a kingdom that we're going to. So now there's this threshold that we're come up to that, but yet we've tasted of the grapes that have come from that other side. We've tasted of the life that will never end. We've tasted of healing that will never get sick again. We've tasted of joy where we'll never hold joy beyond compare. Peace like we've never understood before. Oh, let me tell you, sometimes when we get a little weary on this side, if we could just realize that the earnest, Brother Bram said, we live in a realm where we have untapped resources. That we have untapped potential that we've never tapped into it. Where is it? It's in that other land. It's in that millennium. It's just on the other side of the threshold. Does that mean that it's not available? No, because Brother Adam said we've already been partakers of the heavenly gift. With Hebrews 6, many have been partakers of it, but many of them have trodden underfoot. As though it was an unholy thing. Oh, but there's some of us that partook of that land. Oh, hallelujah. That now I can reach over into that land when I need prayer. What is it? When I need peace. Where do I get it? I can't get it from this world. There's no peace in this world. But they said there will be no peace till the King of Peace comes. Till the Prince of Peace comes, there will be no peace. Oh, but there's peace. He said, my peace I give you. Where did his peace come from? Where is the millennium? Is that in the future or is that something that's just always been? It's eternal. Well, I understand the millennium is a period of time. I understand that. But what about the creatures that live there? All right, I'll just explain it like this. He talks about being delegates of a city, this delegation. So if you die or if you live, what difference does it make? If he comes today, or if he comes in 100 years or 1,000 years, I'll only rest till my change comes. So old man, old woman, don't you be discouraged. If you are a representation up here in this attribute of God, if you're represented here, then you're in the eternal. If you cross from that seventh day into the eighth day, oh, you got into the eternal by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what is a millennium to an eternal creature? It's just another day. Amen. Why? Because the eternity, when did it start? It never started. You just came to a place where you realized you were a part of it and that you can no more be separated from it than God Himself can be separated from it. If that eternal life lives inside of you. Or English lost its meaning. Eternal life means eternal life. Brother Bam said, you don't get redeemed and lost, redeemed and lost, redeemed and lost, redeemed and lost. No, you get redeemed. He said, you're eternally redeemed. Woo, think about that. And he said, if you're dead, you're eternally dead. That's right. He said, there are some that are eternally dead. They'll never know life. Oh, praise be to God. But if you got eternal, you got it by the eternal baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going somewhere. He says, I heard someone say one time that divine healing would be in the millennium. Well, you got a glorified body then. So what do you need with any divine healing? That's pretty theological. Watch what he says. He said, it's the devil trying to put you off in something over yonder, some millennium, you're going to be something. So, that, oh, in the millennium, we're going to have these bodies. In the millennium, we're going to have this peace. In the millennium, we're going to have this joy. In the millennium, we're going to be sinless. In the millennium, we're going to walk around and, oh, everything's going to be every day Sunday. That's what he said. He said they're just putting it off over in the millennium somewhere. I see it over there. But Brother Bram said, you are right now sons and daughters of God. Amen. Right now we're sons and daughters of God. Right now, in this very moment that we live, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, let me tell you, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. What was it? These were the eternal works of God that were manifest by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is eternal life in the believer. The Word being made manifest. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh in your flesh and in my flesh. Oh, now we got eternal life moving, you see. But, oh, it's over there. Oh, it's over there. It's in the desert. It's in the secret chamber. Oh, only in the prophet. What is it? It's only in this camp or only in that camp. Oh, my. Oh, he said, if your man-made theology just give you a little cold tater and told you to wait, you go ahead. I find that's what's happened so many times that preachers, because they can't materialize it themselves, then they give you a little cold tater and say, oh, when the seals break or when the third pull comes or when the 40 days comes or whatever, put it off, because they can't materialize it themselves. Well, you can take the cold tater if you want it. Amen, but not me. I'm going to have a full 7-course meal of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to eat till I'm full. I'm going to enjoy the supernatural. I'm going to enjoy the power of God. Amen. You tell me I can't have it? That's an old cold tater I don't want nothing to do with. Amen. I want it now. Brother Brown said, ask for big things. And ask for them often. Amen. Oh my, watch. Now, this millennium, we're talking about a threshold. We're talking about a place to where we can see into that other world. Into that other place. So close that a prophet went there. So close that he spoke to people that were there. He saw things from the other side. And he come back and gave us a report. He carried the grapes back across, as it were. And said, these, let me tell you, don't miss it. Whatever you do, don't miss it. He heard them angels crying, speaking back. And what did they say? He said, you know, keep up the battle. Don't stop. Don't let up. Oh my. So, threshold, by definition, is a point of entry. Second definition. I a lot of times like the second definition better than the first definition. But the second definition of a threshold is a magnitude or an intensity that must be exceeded for a reaction or a phenomena to take place. I didn't know what I was getting into. I just used a little simple analogy the other day. And I figured water would be pretty simple. And well, I come to find out I have a chemist for a son. And I found out I don't know nothing. But that's all right. I'm just going to stay with water. And in my elementary science, I think we can all handle. We learned that there was basically, now don't, if I got some of you smart kids in here, just bear with me. I'm half a century old and not altogether up here. But there was water has three forms, or matter in that definition. Solid, liquid, gas. Everybody understand that? All right, good. No rebuttal at this point. And so, water at room temperature, at sea level, is a liquid. But as the temperature begins to rise up to 211 degrees, then that water gets at a place where the molecules begin to move it around so much, and then you push it beyond that 211 to 212. When it crosses that threshold, then the water begins to vaporize and turn into a gas. Likewise, going the other direction, when water gets down at about 33 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level, then it's beginning to slow down. The molecules are slowing down. And then once you take it beyond that 33 degree threshold, then they begin to become solidified and it turns into ice. So you see where we're at with this threshold. Now, this as this threshold begins to apply to you and I, under the first Exodus, remember that the people of God had, by prophecy, had gone down into Egypt land. There they became a great people, a mighty nation. But they were held under taskmasters and rulers in Egypt, and they were became in sore bondage. Is that right? All right. Now, but the prophecy said that when they had sojourned there for 400 years, that God would bring them out by a mighty hand. And so at just right at 400 years, there's a man on the scene by the name of Moses. Born a proper child, angelic visitation to his parents, all these things had come, and you say, angelic visitation, well, Brother Bam said it was. Said it likened unto, he said a man, Moses said a prophet likened unto me, and there was an angel when Christ came, so, you know, you figure it out, you put the pieces together. And so now, but his presence there was vindicated by God. Completely vindicated by God. And so now Moses comes up, and now he realizes, he sees the whip being laid to his people. He sees the punishments they're going through. And so then he himself takes it upon himself to deliver the people. And when he does, we end up with a dead Egyptian. And now Moses has to leave the country and go out into the desert. And there he has to wait for another 40 years. But yet we thought that Everything was there. There was the people were there. The bondage was there. The taskmasters were there. They were a mighty people. It was 400 years. They were the peoples of Abraham. And so everything looked like it was supposed to be finished, but yet they had to go another 40 years. And the Bible comes back and clarifies why that had to take place was because the sins of the Amorites were not full. And so there had to, and Brother Ram tells us this, he said they had to wait that extra 40 years until the sins of the Amorites had gotten to a place. And so now we bring it over to our time. And we see that in our time, what is it again today? We were prophesied of an Elijah prophet. We were told that there would, that it would be the time when the mysteries of God would be finished. We were told that it would be when Israel would come into their homeland. We were told that they wouldn't be there for a generation. We were told all these things. We were told about rapturing grace, and we were told about faith. And so we believe that we've come up to the threshold of it going in, but there's another definition that says that there has to come a magnitude. There has to come an intensity. There has to come a pressure. There has to come a squeeze upon the people in the supernatural realm to take those people, amen, from being just liquid. What does liquid do? It just goes path of least resistance. You see, the people of God have just, they're just liquid. They're just water. They're all wishy-washy. Oh, but if there ever comes a place, amen, oh, where they just get that pressure begins to build, and as that pressure begins to build, oh, devil, he'll try to put a cap on it. I say, go ahead, devil. You go ahead and put a cap on it. But the pressure is still building. Why? Because heat is still there. I'm still here. I still got all the property. Something's going to happen. The pressure's building. The pressure's building. And at some point, all the pressure's going to come to a place. Oh, my. Then the top's going to blow. There's nothing going to stop it there. And that steam is going to go right back to heaven where it come from. Hey, amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm ready for a little stimulation. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is it? Probably most of us have seen, if not, I try to give you a little word description, pictures of when these jets cross through the sound barrier. And they create a phenomena, and I don't have the name of it right here in front of me, but it's a foreign name. But what it is there's like a vapor ring that forms around these aircraft and rockets and things like that when they break the sound barrier. But what I thought was striking was that this definition for a magnitude or for a threshold was this. A magnitude or this intensity that would cause a phenomenon. And when I was looking at this threshold of the sound barrier, it says that there is this ring or this vapor forms, and it called it a phenomenon. Let's read on. It tells us that what this is that, just in layman's terms, that it's the air molecules around the aircraft when it gets to that certain speed that it's what it's called is a chaotic effect. And so it's this chaotic atmosphere that actually forms this cloud as the aircraft goes through that sound barrier, breaks past that 740, however many miles an hour that is. And so when it breaks that, there's this phenomena that takes place that there's a vapor that forms, and then the aircraft goes on through. And what I thought was striking about it was that it called it chaotic. Oh, friend, if the atmosphere, amen, around our lives, amen, is all peace and just comfort and all just happy-go-lucky, oh, you can just be sure you're not going fast enough. You know, just lollygagging along. Oh, well, you might, you know, you may have some horsepower and you may even be able to get off the ground with that and you may coast around in a little glider. Oh, but friends, if you ever want, amen, to break the sound barrier, it's going to get chaotic. It's going to get disturbed. It's going to get perturbed. Amen. Things are going to happen around you. There's going to be such a chaos. Oh, let me tell you, friend, the Bible tells us that in the beginning when the earth was without form and it was void, and the Bible says that there was a darkness, amen, that covered the face of the deep. When you look back into the Hebrew text, that darkness is translated chaos. It was a chaos that was over the earth. It was darkness. Oh, the prophet of God tells us, amen, when, and just like God spoke to the darkness, spoke to the chaos back in that day, and a world sprung forth, and God spun flowers, amen, and birds came up, amen, and animals began to walk out upon the face of the earth, and trees grew up, amen, and earth, amen, began to form, oh, and light came on the earth. What was it? God spoke to the chaos. Brother, I've said this, the same God that spoke to that darkness there, if he'll speak to your darkness. Oh my, amen, if he speaks to your, you got some chaos in your life. You got some disturbing, you got some things that are going on, let God speak to it. Amen. I might have told you this story before, I'm going to tell you again. One time I went to a place, took my kids. They went riding roller coasters and stuff. And I said, ride with your mama. I stayed with the little kids. I go ride on little floaty boats and stuff like that. You know. Brother Dale don't do roller coasters. Don't like them. My wife will get me on one every time, and every time I get sick. Can't stand the things. But they wanted to go do it. So I was, you know, I just wanted to be team player. So I took everybody. Finally, you know, I said, come on. I ain't riding no more of them things. Them things scare me to death. Listen, here, look, here's a simulator. Let's go ride the simulator. You know, I knew that thing was just a chair. And I knew it was just going to, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, it was just going to be a little ride, you know. Well, this simulator was to simulate the breaking of the sound barrier. And so we get up there and we're waiting, and there's this little monitor there, and there's this guy in a jumpsuit, and he's, you know, some Air Force personnel, and he starts telling us about how that in the old days and how that they'd go to fly these planes and they'd get up to the sound barrier and how they'd go to shake it and, you know, the plane would want to come apart. And I'm thinking, man, he's reading quotes. And then he says, you know, what they believed was that there was a demon in the sky. And that demon was keeping them from breaking that sound barrier. I'm going, preach, brother. Huh? And I said, man. And so he goes on talking about, he says, well, right, what we've done here, that wherever, blah, 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 place we was. And he said, what we've done here is we've got state-of-the-art, sound system and digital whatever video and we're gonna, simulate the breaking of this sound barrier. State-of-the-art. You're gonna get to experience it as true to form as can be. And he says, we want to see if you got what it takes to beat the demon. Woo! He shouldn't have said that. He didn't put the challenge on me. I said, hey man, oh glory. My kids are all, dad, shut up. You know. Shut up, dad. Oh, you're going to embarrass us. People looking around. My wife got red and... So finally, I said, let me in there. I don't want to beat the demon. I hate demons. I want to beat the demon. Oh, my. So they took us in there. Well, needless to say, I rode that thing. And we went up there and we flew that thing. And oh, my. It was quite a ride. And it almost wrecked the thing. and we got it, and we broke the sound barrier, and it was all well and good. And we got, when we landed and everything, I realized we never even got that far off the ground. It was just a simulation. Just, you know, oh, church, that's not that. I don't want simulation. I want stimulation. Amen. I want the real deal. I don't want to just, you know, some Hollywood Max Factor, you know, playground stuff. Oh, I want the real deal, man. But the breaking of that sound barrier. He said, do you have what it takes? I thought, Brother Branham said, he said, the church, he said, needs to go beyond that sin barrier. Go out into those atmospheres. Breaking down those, he said, breaking down all those atmospheres. Oh, friend, there's atmospheres all around us where we can just get to the magnitude. We've got to push up to that threshold and then not back off, but we've got to press in. We've got to push on in, break through that sound barrier, get over beyond that threshold. Oh, then what's going to happen? I realize that over there, there's peace and joy and all these things, but friends, I need them over here. When I find myself all so broke down and I find myself physically not able to go any further, mentally not able to press any further, oh, then what I need to do, I need to press up to that threshold. I need to go beyond that, reach over into that millennium, pull it over onto this side. Amen, because one of these days I'm going to take a trip. That's right. What is it? We've come up to this place. This magnitude, this intensity. We've gone beyond the sound barrier. Now watch. We see so much of what's happening and what we can see of what's going on over there. Let's just think about what's in the millennium just for a little while. We find out that in the millennium, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 or 22, it tells us that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. So now, but Jesus tells his disciples, he gives them the keys of the kingdom and tells them that whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in, is going to be bound in heaven. And so he gave us the power of binding and loosing on this side. Now then, Brother Adam tells us how that the sacrifice, the atonement, is able to what? To loose us from sin. Why? Because it was a perfect sacrifice. And so if it was a perfect sacrifice, then it would perfectly loose us from sin. So then how much more if under that atonement that we can reach over and now when Satan would buffet, when Satan would come, in that world, can you imagine in that world, just walking down the glory way with the brothers and the sisters, no evil thoughts in your mind, no evil communication, no gossip, no backbiting, no lying, no cheating, no stealing. Oh, just there's peace forevermore. Walking down to there and look over and see the devil standing there. And he would be chained, but not with long chains, Abraham said, but by chains of circumstance. Why? Because we have glorified bodies. We're living in theophany. Oh my, can you imagine? That's why Brother Bram said that Satan had no access to Christ because he came through that theophany. We bypass ours and so now we can be tempted of sin. Oh, but let me tell you friends, one of these days I'm going to take a step. Oh, I'm going to come in contact and in a full way with that theophany. Oh, I'm going to pick up my 16 elements from the earth and my soul and my theophany and my body are going to go into a millennium. And when I get there, the devil will be bound. He'll be bound for 1,000 years. But what about now? Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. There was such an understanding in Christ's life that he understood not just who he was. I appreciate Brother Jason preaching this the other day, but he called my attention to this in the scripture, in the church age book. Not just when the church recognizes who she is, but what she is. Christ realized what he was. He realized that he was a virgin born son of God. He realized that the Father had bestowed all power and heaven and earth was given unto him. And so now when he went up on the mountain and he could thwart the devil, powerless. When he, not only then, but in his earthly ministry, one day he got in the boat, they went over into the Gadareans. When he got over to the Gadareans, there was a man up there that they had tried to bind all these years in chains and stuff, and he was stark naked running around up in a cemetery. When Jesus come on the shore, that man come running down there, had 2,000 demons in him. And they began to scream out. What did they begin to scream out? Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time? Before the time, I believe is actually the correct. So now that here before the time, there was this manifested Son of God on the earth that now had brought, when he came onto the shores of the Gadareans, those demons began to cry out, have you come to torment us? What would it be? What would it be if the people of God would realize what she is? When the church realizes what she is and the two spirits that are working in the church and these things, when she realizes that, then the Bible, Brother Adam tells us that the devil will be thwarted in her life. Oh my, think about it. What would it be if we go down here to Shoney's? And we go walking in there, and all a bunch of weirdos and freaks and monsters that live in and go to them places, you know, you go to the restaurant, you look in there, and they're just full of... Did I come to the right place? And you go in there. Can you imagine if our character, our life, our experience with God was at such a place that when we walk in the place, the demons begin to scream out of them. Have you come to torment us before the time? Oh my, what about it? Oh, what about when the hour that we live in, was our experience gotten to a place to we've dropped down the other way, we're crossing a threshold where many are cold and a few are frozen. Huh? Have we gotten to that place? Or are we moving up to the magnitude and to the intensity to where that our life would command demons? You say, can that happen? It happened to the New Testament church. We sing the song, we're the New Testament church rising up. But yet, I wonder, are we really the New Testament church? Where have we gotten to? What intensity are we living under? This clock ain't moved since I got up here. Oh, okay. I'll let you go here in a minute. Watch. He said, so is it that Sabbath day when the church will no more labor against sin. Talking about that millennium. There's a place where we'll no longer labor against it. Glorified bodies. Theophany. Redeemed souls. Living in the presence of God. Changed. Never to go back. Oh my, I can't wait. Satan is bound for a season, 1,000 years. Because his subjects is all in hell. The church that's on the earth is redeemed and right in the presence of Christ, so he can do nothing. He has nothing he can work on So it's not a chain, like I said, like a log chain. It's a chain of circumstances. He has nothing he can do. He's helpless and hopeless. But like I said a while ago, why would I want to put that over in a millennium somewhere? And just make it so it's just some old cold tater of promise. Oh, let me tell you, the scripture tells us and shows us that we tread on scorpions and serpents. Amen. Take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. We cast out devils. Lay hands upon the sick. Amen. Speak with new tongues. Prophesy. Live in the presence of God. Why? Because our Eliezer has come and he has brought us gifts from afar. Oh, let me tell you, that Holy Ghost was a camel, and that camel left from Abraham's house, and that camel carried those gifts all the way down to Rebecca. That's right, the Holy Ghost carried that right down there, carried the messenger, carried the gifts, amen, carried the word, the promise, everything. Those camels, they carried it right to her. But then, she had to get on that thing, and she climbed on that camel, and that same Holy Ghost that brought those things to her as the same Holy Ghost that was going to carry her back to her Isaac. And there ain't no enough devils in hell to keep us from going and doing it. He said, we were foreordained of God for this hour. The Word of God manifests itself right through us. And we live in the presence of God by the word promise of God. Oh friend, don't let, the old cold tater out there, be some sort of a pacifier that's gonna, well, one of these days, we're gonna have a millennium. One of these days, we're gonna have signs and wonders. One of these days, the dead are gonna be raised. One of these days down, oh, one of these days, my foot. I'm talking about right now, today, this day. Oh, let me tell you, one time I was praying for a woman, and she'd had a cerebral hemorrhage on the right side of her brain, I believe it was, the left side of her body was paralyzed. Her name was Grace, and she was crippled. She'd been in a wheelchair for about 6 months in a convalescent home, and we went down there to pray for her. We got there with Grace, and I preached a little thought. I hadn't been preaching maybe a couple of weeks. So my revelation wasn't too big, but I did have this one thought. I couldn't tell her what made it burn, but I could sure tell her how it got lit. And so I got a little scripture over there about Jesus spitting on the ground, makes some mud, put it on man's eyes. The man got to seeing. And I said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, would anybody like prayer? Little Grace was sitting there, little old bitty frame of a woman, couldn't have been over 5 foot tall, little bitty tiny woman, sitting in a wheelchair. She raised up her little feeble hand, or right hand, I think it was, raised up her little feeble hand. She said, I'd like prayer. The little side of her face drooping down like that. I went over there and I said, Sister Grace, you believe that the same Jesus that healed that man there being blind, you believe that same Jesus that healed you? She goes, I do. I said, let's pray. And I got down on my knees in front of her and I prayed with all my heart. Brand new Christian. Hadn't been saved over a couple months. I got to praying for her and I said, oh Jesus, they're the same Jesus, by your stripes this woman's healed. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, raise her up. Amen. I got up on my feet and took little Gracie by the hands, and I was telling her, Sister Grace, I said, one of these days I believe by the prayer of faith, I said, one of these days you're going to rise up. Come on now. She says, one of these days. She goes, how about today? That little woman gave a tug, and I gave a tug, and she gave a tug. Next thing you know, that woman hit the ground, and we went around the sanctuary. Amen. What was it? Amen. Oh, it wasn't some supernatural vision from God. It was a simple prayer of faith, and it wasn't something off in the misty blue. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it's here, it's now, it's now or never. Amen. Oh, that wasn't the half of it. Well, it was about half of it. When that woman come out of that wheelchair, she danced around there, Brother Terry, just as good as me and you. Her little face straightened up and she was just a happy, and we got to dancing. In come the nurses. About this time, I had this little buddy. His name was Mark. And Mark was, he took his own life later, but I love Mark. He was just a simple brother. Just believe the word. He saw that woman come out of that wheelchair. Said, glory to God. Went over there just at random. Picked a woman in a wheelchair. Said, rise in the name of Jesus. Snatched her out of the wheelchair. That woman come healed. I'm telling you right now, them women come well. Right before our very eyes. Began to dance around the room with us. Jumping up and down. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You think that won't happen? Oh, let me tell you. Well, we were going to empty the place out. We didn't know what to do. Them nurses got them women and said, hey, y'all go sit down. They run us off. And I guess it was job security for them or something. I don't know. Oh, but what was it? We was brand new. We didn't know nothing. We just believed. Oh, I think we've gotten to the place where it's become a bunch of theology. And we've got a bunch of church theologians. Oh, if we could just have some real reckless Joshua faith and say, sun, stand still. Moon, you stay where you are. I've got a battle to fight here. Where's some reckless faith? This message that we've been given, amen, is not something, amen, for children to play with. Oh, we got to rise up. Rise up, church. Rise up in faith. Rise up in belief. Reach over into a millennium. Amen. Pull some. Brother Man said, if we can't see what's over there, we need to climb up a few steps and get up on a stepladder and look at the arcade and see what God has for us. Oh, my. He said, now if Satan can keep us fighting at one another, he don't have to fight. But when we train our guns on him and away from one another, go to loving one another, fellowshipping with one another, then the millennium will start. Amen. Oh, friends, there's so many. You know, the Catholic Church, Jehovah's Witness, all different kinds of denominations. They said that 1914, the millennium started. Another one said it was 1800 sometime. You know, that's their millennium. They can have it. Some of them in the message, they start saying, well, we're in the millennium, you know, because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Read the same quote I quoted. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm still eating meat. I'm still, you know, hunting and fishing, you know, and lions will eat me. There are no respecter of persons. Bears will still eat me. All right. We're not in that millennium like that right now. No, no. But the benefits of that millennium are in us now by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So now when the devil comes, as our musicians return, stand to your feet. I don't want to keep you too late. Oh, friends. I didn't say it was over. I was just going to let you stand up. Oh, hallelujah. What we find is that the devil, when he comes against us like that, like a roaring lion. So now then, there has to come an atmosphere. Daniel had an atmosphere to where lions couldn't eat him. The Hebrew children had an atmosphere to where fire wouldn't burn them. What was it? There was an atmosphere where they went into a place to where that Satan and the things of this world were bound, the influence that the world had on us. So now then when Satan would come in like a flood, then what do? I just reach over in my millennium. I just pull out some divine love. I just pull, not that I gotta go procure it, that he's way up here, or that he's way down here, or he's way over there. I gotta find it inside of my soul. I gotta find that place, that eternal life, that eternal baptism of the Holy Ghost, and create an atmosphere to where Satan is bound. Satan cannot operate in perfect love. Satan cannot operate in perfect joy. Satan cannot operate in perfect peace. And so if those things exist in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then I've just got to procure them. Amen. The potentials of my eternal life lays in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's what I want more than anything in this world. Oh, it's to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Then when Satan would come, amen, oh my. I said, well, just move on, devil. I'm in my millennium. I created me an atmosphere. Not only am I just in my millennium, but I'm in my eternity. I've left my seventh day. I'm gone out in the eighth day, and the eighth day is not even a day. The eighth day is eternity. And no beginning, no ending. Praise God. He said it's like a circle. He said in one of these days, that little hickey, he called it. He said a hickey, he said eternity dropped down into time. He called it a little hickey of time. Amen. One of these days, that little divot of time, amen, is going to come back up and we're going to roll back out into eternity again. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. Oh, help me out. My theophany. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Amen. Oh, one day I'm going to take a step. One day I'm going to step up into that agape love. One day I'm going to experience all that theophany. He said, you've left that other thing. You've come in contact with it. Oh, but what when this old body, Job said, in my appointed time, I'm waiting for my change to come. One day I'm gonna take a step. It's all of us a little higher. It's Hallelujah. Oh, they're just another step, church. We're going to take that step. Hallelujah. Over the threshold. Amen. Oh, but we're right there. It's right there, friend. It's not a million miles away. Or on some far and distant land. Oh, no, sir. Oh, we're going to speed up. And then they'll slow down. And there is a land, friend. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we just pray now, Lord, that our people, Lord, would be inspired, oh God, to believe, Lord, for the supernatural. Lord, to believe for a life that's without end, for health, oh God, in their bodies. Lord, that sickness would be thwarted and defeated every turn, Lord. Father, that disease and heartache and, Lord, and trouble on every side, Father. Oh God, that you would break down every wall of petition, oh God. Let the peoples of God live in your presence, Lord. Walking and having faith every day, Lord. Oh God, for the supernatural manifestation of the Son of Man in their very lives, Lord, I would pray. Father, we're just looking for that word to become eternal, the eternal word to come manifest in our bodies, in our lives, oh God. That this is not a million miles away. It's not some far off place that can't be attained. It's not up in the heavens. It's not down beneath the sea, but it's nigh thee even in thy mouth, oh God. Hallelujah, we pray, Lord Jesus. Father, that we'd speak the word and go forward, Lord. Believe on the supernatural manifestation of the word for this day. Oh God, Lord, we love you and we praise you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah to God. Well, I'm thinking of a rapture in that blessed home on high when the redeemed go gathering in, and how we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed go gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, wash like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout, how we'll sing, glory to God when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of Rome. Redeemed are gathering. Oh, what sin, or that city will be ruined when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed, hallelujah, oh, sing it, church, hallelujah, when the redeemed gathering in. Oh, I'm like you.
Stand.